All right, beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. This year is flying by. And thank God that God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yeah. Changes not. And I look in the mirror and I see where I've changed. And for the most part, for the good. But I thank God for the change that He makes. Amen.
That's right.
We'll be finishing up the book of Ruth this morning. And I had prayed early this morning. And I really got a blessing out of the people that got here a little early last Sunday. And I was kind of hoping that they got an appetite whetted a little bit to be here this morning. And don't hold that against me, but I look forward to
it'll eventually happen.
Seeing the Sunday school grow. We've got enough to have Sunday school. Jesus said two or three was enough for Him to show up. And He always shows up, and I thank God for that. Like I said, this book of Ruth, it's broke down into four chapters. Scofield, which I love my Scofield Bible, not dogmatic about it, but I've got a lot of benefit from having one. He titled each of these chapters, and he titled chapter 1, Ruth Deciding. He titled chapter 2, Ruth Serving. He titled chapter 3, Ruth Resting. And he titled chapter 4, Ruth Rewarded. And I had, to some degree, also titled them. And I had titled chapter 1, Heartache. Chapter 2, Help. Chapter 3, Hope. And chapter 4, Heaven. And nothing wrong with either one of them, mine or his, either one. But we'll start here in Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. And then Naomi, that's her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And that's good for a mother-in-law to have that kind of desire to see her daughter-in-law not only have rest, but she's talking about, you know, her care, that it may be well with thee. And she mentions, and now is not Boaz. And Boaz is a key character in the book of Ruth. He's the kinsman redeemer type of Christ. And she says to her daughter-in-law, And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou was. In other words, she said, you've been in his fields gleaning. And that's where she ended up. Her hap was to fall upon the field of Boaz. And we found that out in Ruth chapter 2, verse number 3. And this was divine providence of God. And, you know, I have to admit, it just so happened that not only I got saved, but God put me in a good church, and I thank God for that.
Yes,
but this is same with Ruth here. She got in a good place. It went well, and her mother-in-law said, Is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. And what that is, He's working the harvest. They're winning out the chaff from the wheat. And she gives advice to her daughter-in-law. And she says, Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee. In other words, prepare yourself. And get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. She's telling her, and, you know, we need to pass along how that we're to conduct ourselves. There is a manner of godliness.
Yes.
Everything needs to be done a certain way. And thank God for a Bible. I have to admit, I've learned a lot from reading the Bible. I've learned that a wise man studies the answer. I learned that a fool is known by his writing. And I've learned, you know, that there's a time to listen, time to speak, time not to even do either one, time to work. And you can get a lot done working. You can't get nothing done sitting there talking and you know, telling this and telling that, whatever. And the Song of Solomon, not Song of Solomon, but in Proverbs, Solomon mentioned about there's a time for everything, a season for things. And,
yeah,
you know, in the spring of the year, that's a time to work the ground, time to sow. Time to reap. But she tells her, wait till he's done eating and drinking. I've seen a lot of people, Brother Ed, mess up in the category of timing. Timing's important. It's important in witnessing.
Yeah.
It's important in working. There's a time, and I always do seek that best time. Try to be in a timely manner. You know, if I showed up here this morning 30 minutes late, I'd have missed out on a lot of teaching time.
Yeah, that's right.
And we need to be punctual, need to be timely. And she's giving advice to her daughter-in-law, and she says, wait till he's done eating and drinking. Mm-hmm. And I've learned in life, not just in the Bible, but I've learned in life some things. I believe it's James that says, you have need of patience. And
yeah.
Patience is something very few people have. I see urgency. I've seen people pass me coming to church this morning. They're in a hurry to go nowhere. I was in a hurry to get to church, but I got behind every slow poke there was this morning. But she's giving her daughter-in-law advice, and she says, wait till he's done eating and drinking. Children, of course, they're just children. And lots of times they don't understand patience, time, and you just have to kind of look over that because they're children. But adults shouldn't have the problem of knowing when to do things. And when an adult struggles at that.
You know, Brother Eddie, when we were kids growing up, and I know in your generation was the same thing, we were taught patience by when somebody come to our house to have dinner, the grown-ups sat down and ate first. The kids went out in the yard and played or did whatever until the grown-ups got done, and then the kids went in and ate.
Yeah.
Our parents taught us that as young kids, and that taught us patience.
Right. That teaching, you know, I don't go on much today, but that teaching, it's important to teach. And Naomi here, she's giving her daughter-in-law real good advice here. She's telling her really how to have success in this matter. And she goes on, verse 4. She said, and it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now, Ruth's a Moabitess. She's not familiar with the customs of the Jewish people. Naomi, she's a Jew. She understands customs. And matter of fact, Boaz will mention here in a minute about customs and stuff. But Naomi is instilling in Ruth not only how to have success, but how to go about having success. And in her advice here, if you notice verse 5, and this is really good. This is probably the best verse in this whole book of Ruth. And it's Ruth speaking. And Ruth, she says unto her, talking about Naomi, mm-hmm. all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Boy, I can do a lot with someone that'll be a doer, not a hearer only.
That's right.
I know I'm not stupid. I know a lot of people, you know, amen, way to go, preaching brother. And they're hearers, but not doers.
Yeah.
But those that do, they get the blessing that goes along with the doing. And here Ruth is with a mind to do what's been told her. And she says to Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. When I was young, Brother Ed, I had a lot of people, and they gave me good advice. I wish I'd listened. I didn't. Mm. I remember my uncle, Marshall Eubank, he tried to tell me to lay up some money and not waste my money. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, really foolishly, like a child. The sad commentary is, I wished I had that to do over again. I'd have listened.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'd have done what he said and been smarter to do it, been better off to do it, but kind of went in one ear and out the other ear. And I learned about everything I learned the hard way. Well, Ruth is exceptional in the fact that she takes advice of her mother-in-law and she says, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Boy, that's a phenomenal verse right there. Mm-hmm. Verse 6 says, and it's talking about Ruth, and she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Now she's doing this at the advice of her mother-in-law, and at the beckoning of her mother-in-law, she's every word done what she said. Verse 8 said, and it came to pass, you know that's my favorite terminology, because it means this really did happen.
Yeah.
And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now this might have been an awkward moment, because she's done everything that her mother-in-law told her to do. But in this matter, right here, she may have reacted in the wrong way. And she says, spread thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And now notice what he says, being familiar with the customs. And he says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, for I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doeth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now there's something to Ruth here. And one of the things that's to be remembered about Ruth is that she's a virtuous woman.
Yes.
You can look. She couldn't help it that her husband died. But she made the best of it. She went with Naomi. And like I said, the right way to immigrate, which is what I titled last week's lesson on, and a lot of people already visited that message really just because of that terminology. Mm-hmm. This could be following up on the right way to immigrate. She's getting the right response. And one reason she's getting the right response is because she doesn't have mischief. She's got the right motive. Her motive is pure.
Right.
She doesn't have an agenda. She's not trying to undermine the customs of the Jewish people. She's submitting herself to them. She's following the advice of her mother-in-law. And because she's done everything at the advice of her mother-in-law, she gets this blessing.
Yeah.
And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord. Now listen, when he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, he had the right, as a Jewish leader, Boaz, one of the mighty men of this day, he's pronouncing a blessing upon this stranger. And he says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. The terminology is one of honor. And not just blessing, but an honor. And he says, everybody knows you're a virtuous woman. And you know, people know you for who you are.
That's right.
And some of these people come in our country, and it grieves me to think about that they would do this. But they come in under the pretense that they have no agenda. They come in, act innocent. And I don't know if you keep up the news or not, but a policeman just died by an illegal immigrant, shot him in the head. Of course, they're going to play this thing like a guitar, somehow get some kind of sympathy for this man. He's here illegally, been deported, comes back, It grieves me that this is going on in our country.
Yeah.
When our country is so blessed, and the reason our country is so blessed, and we're certainly going to comment on that in the preaching today, is because that we've put forth an effort to honor the God of heaven.
Amen.
And you know, our schools, they're in disarray. They're not without hope. They just need to be, you know, some things changed in our schools. And you know, if it would come to America with a pure motive, I would embrace and help them in any way that I can.
Sure.
But when they come and their motive is mischief, their motive is terrorism, their motive is to kind of overthrow what makes America great. I mean, the very first commandment up there,
right.
Even though it's not worded exactly on there like it is in Exodus chapter 20, it said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him shall thou serve." So that just cuts all the chase. That there's no other God to worship. And America has become, three presidents back, a multi-cultured nation. Let's see, how exactly did Bill Clinton say that? We've become a multi-cultured nation.
Yeah.
In other words, we've embraced about every wind of doctrine that there is, and you pay the price for it.
That's right.
And that's why we need to seek out the old paths, walk therein. That's why we do need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the things of God. Give the most earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. There's some things, Brother Ed, I've been told you how dogmatic I am about the King James Bible.
Yes.
And I am going to eventually preach a message about why I am like that. I'd like to do it this morning. And I had intentions of preaching that this morning, and God had otherwise minded of me, and that's all right. I certainly want to be whatever He wants me to be, preach whatever He wants me to preach.
Yeah.
In any capacity that I could serve my God in, I certainly want to do that. But Ruth is innocent. Her motive's right. She's got the reputation because of it. And Boaz says, all the city. There's no question, no controversy, no different opinion. All the city, Boaz says, all the city of my people doeth know that thou art a virtuous woman. She earned that. You know, it takes years to build a reputation.
Yeah.
It takes about 2 seconds to lose one.
That's right.
And I've had a lot of things happen to me, Brother Ed. I've had to sort them out. I was sitting in the cafeteria out there at work, and a new girl passed by, and I said, "How you doing?" And she evidently was starving for attention, and most people are.
Yeah.
She sat down. And I said, "You're new here. I hadn't seen you before." And she's explaining that she just got hired, that her husband was in the Navy, and that you know, he'd retired from the Navy, and he's taking care of their 5-year-old child. Just out of the wild blue yonder. I mean, I have to admit, this kind of blindsided me. And she said, "I've got a problem with infidelity." Now, that kind of rocked my boat just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I said, "You can work on that. You and your husband can work that out." I said, "If he's any husband at all, he'll work with you." And I was trying to get some kind of hope in her, because it caught me off guard that she would mention that.
Yeah.
Quickly she did, to someone she didn't even know. So, you know, we need to be on guard.
That's right.
And I don't think she had a motive in that. But it did startle me that she just, out of wildly yonder, I had a problem with infidelity. And me, as a pastor that loves people, tries to help people, I told her I was a preacher after she said that. And I said, "God can help you with that."
Yeah.
And I said, your husband can help you with that. I said, that's not as bad as it can be. It's not good, but it could be worse. I said, you're still here. You can work that out. And like I said, you can lose a testimony in a matter of a second.
Yeah, boy.
And we're all men of like passion. I'm not Superman, no S underneath my shirt. I'm just a man, not much of one dad. Told the Lord this morning, as I prayed early this morning, 4 o'clock this morning, I said, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You know my frame. I'm but dust. And I'm just praying like your word says, as a father, pity this children, you'd have mercy on me. I said, I need you to help me to be what I need to be. I need you to forgive me. I need you to deliver me. I need you to help me. I need you to lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I said, I'm asking you to do that. I said, if I thought I could walk worthy of your name, I wouldn't bother you. But I want to walk before you in the beauty of holiness. If there ever was one that deserved us to be exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, God talked about Job and he kind of put him in the category of exceptional. He said there's none like him in the earth.
Right.
And that's what we should strive for, that exceptionalism. That, like I said, Ruth had a reputation of being a virtuous woman. This other lady, her reputation wasn't like Ruth, but loving people. And I've tried to befriend her even after I met her. I can understand how that could take its toll on her. I can understand how she could be swallowed up in that. I want to try to help her. And my motive is pure. And that's what's important.
That's right.
And that's what I'm trying to get across in this lesson right here. Ruth, her motive is pure. Her reputation's known. She's come to the right one. She's took the right advice. And he says, and now it's true. Verse 12. That I am thy near kinsman. See, she got the right results because she took the right advice. She done exactly what was told her. And Boaz goes a little further. He said, it is true. I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Now, when he makes this statement here, a lot of people would have probably took this and just give up right there. But he makes this statement here in a positive way, and he says, I'll take it from here. Matter of fact, that's kind of what Naomi told her in verse 4. He said, he'll tell thee what thou shalt do. And he says, I got just a little problem here that I need to work out. So he says, verse 13, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. And he tells her, lie down unto morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. She got up early, and I like getting up early myself. I don't set my alarm. I just wake up early, and I thank God for it. That's not always been true in my life. And that's a blessing in itself. I usually wake up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and most of the time I get up and I'm thinking, why am I awake? And I think, well, the Lord must want to converse with me. He wants fellowship with me. And I go in there and I spend some quality time with the Lord. I pray, read my Bible. And sometimes the Bible said in Psalms 46, verse 10, just be still and know that He's God. Sometimes just sit there in the silence and just let God commune with you. Let Him speak to you. You know, we're in a hurry. Too much of a hurry. Way too much of a hurry. It would do us good to slow down, get up early, spend some quality time with God. I did that this morning. I didn't do it yesterday morning. I wanted to. Just wasn't possible yesterday because of family coming in. And of course, they don't impose on you, but it just kind of interrupts your schedule.
Yeah.
I got up a little bit early yesterday, but not like I did this morning. I got up real early this morning. Boy, just got blessed. And she did that. She rose up early before anyone could know anyone. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter? You can tell it's still early." Naomi hears someone and she's just wondering, is this Ruth? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not rest. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Now again, Naomi's giving Ruth advice.
Yeah.
Again, she's telling her to wait. Just sit down. Be still. And the man's not going to rest till he gets this thing.